tall. You know.
You know. Oh, Wiggy. What's up to everybody out there? This is the Sneaks and Stats podcast, episode 5-2. I am Sneaker Peter.
Which makes me the Statty Daddy. 52. We got, if you wanted to watch us 1 week for a whole year, you could do it. Now.
That's right.
Now you could.
You can do a marathon if you want.
Back to 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 back. It's my favorite Drake song.
Anyways. 52 episodes. 52, if you times that by 3, it's how many degrees it is in Los Angeles right now, everybody.
And 361 degrees is Nikola Jokic's shoe
with Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
But first and foremost, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please like and comment on our videos. Send us questions, anything you like. Please follow us on our social media, Instagram, Threads, X, and Tiki Talk Talk, where we talk about the tacos.
We do talk about them tacos. 52s for you. We're going to be, this is going to become more difficult with each episode. Chucky Brown.
Very good.
Who else did I see on here?
I have 2013 Mavs, Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry played for the Mavs?
Yeah.
The Mavs and Knicks
2013
connection runs deep.
Crazy,
man.
Dude.
Never ending. Calvin Booth.
Oh, 52? I don't have that. What a great name.
Right?
Nice.
Eddie Curry, though. Wow.
I got a name for you that you're going to trip out on, who also wore 52. Cavs, 2002 to 2005. Deshaunna Jopp. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
Deshaunna Jopp.
I always thought it was Desanga. Is that wrong?
I'm just saying it how Jeff Van Dyke says it.
James Johnson, it says, wore 52 for the
yes.
Kings for 1 year. Lakers legend, Happy Harrison.
Yes.
He held some rebound record for the Lakers for a long time.
Did he really?
I don't remember which one it was. If it was like
that's
most
surprising.
In a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it might have since been broken. But
we did have Shaq.
I don't know if you've ever heard of a little man.
Shaquille
O'Neal.
A couple other ones. A favorite of mine when we talk about kind of random players. Matt Geiger,
extremely random.
Wore it for 3 teams. And I don't know if you have any more, but one last one for me. Personal favorite, 52, on the Chargers right now. Mr. Khalil Mack.
Ooh, a little Beast.
K-Mack.
Maybe my favorite, Jamal Wilkes, also Lakers legend.
Silk
Wilk, baby. And then here's a random name for you. All-time classic. I don't think in all the years we've been just throwing random NBA players' names at each other, we've ever uttered this name. Samaki Walker.
Whoa!
You're welcome.
52 with the Lakers?
With the Mavs, with the Lakers, with the Heat, with the Wizards, and with the Pacers.
Every team he signed with, he was like, is 52 available? They're all, oh yeah.
And for some reason on the Spurs, I don't know, maybe they had a 52 already. He was 55. He played 2 years with the Spurs, and he was 55 the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
But his better years were with 52.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, if you're going to have a powerhouse like Samaki Walker on your team, he better be wearing 52.
Shout out Samaki, don't listen.
Oh, you know why? Chucky Brown was on the Spurs. That's why he had to wear 55. That's hilarious.
I wonder if
what are the odds of that? What are the odds that two players are like, no, 52 is mine?
Yeah. I wonder if he like offered him money, you know?
Maybe he threatened to beat him up. Hey, man,
but
I'll give you a noogie if you don't give me 52.
But Chucky Brown beat him up because he ended up with 52 anyway.
Yes. Yeah, he won. Enough BS.
What is up to the party corner over there and then the library corner?
Boo.
In front of
I
us.
Mean,
boo.
What is boo the main camera? You suck.
We're going to get rid of you guys.
Just all the whole episode facing
it's
this way.
Over here.
What is up, guys?
My neck hurts. We missed you guys. It's been a week since we were last in
2 weeks.
The stew. 2 weeks since we were last in the stew. Since then, a lot of random stuff has happened. Let's see.
NBA draft, completely random. No one knew that was going to happen.
Random because France totally dominated the draft, I think.
France? Like the nation of France?
Yes.
I did not know that.
So many
French players?
French players drafted this year. The most of any year.
No wonder this class is considered weak.
Oh, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 indeed.
Including the top pick, Mr. Zachary Richache.
Yes.
Who went to the Atlanta
Falcons.
Hawk to us.
Hawks. Hawk to us, yes. Hawk to a Tagovailoa.
He's one of those guys that's just like super lanky.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this guy.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good.
He's got that dank lank, as they call it.
Do that dank lank.
Maybe we gotta cut that out.
He went first. Second round pick. Or second pick, sorry. Alex Sarr.
Yeah.
Went to the Wizards.
Superstar.
And the third pick, Mr. Reed Shepard to the Houston Rockets.
The Rockets.
Yes. Not to knock. that's
thank you.
Kick.
Thank you.
Yeah. They, not to knock this class, but I just wasn't too familiar with too many players
no,
this year.
No, there's a lot of players I'm kind of weird. Extremely unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
The most talked about pick, of course, ended up being the 55th pick.
Yes.
LeBron James Jr.
Yes.
A.K.A. Bronny.
Brony.
And still a very weird pick. It's not unheard of for there to be like nepotism in the NBA. Look at Thanasis.
Every sport.
Yeah, every sport, everywhere. Thanasis is, I think, the premier example before Bronny. But it was just weird, the circumstances surrounding it, you know? Like, supposedly Rich Paul was telling teams, like, hey, don't draft him, because if you do, he's just going to leave and play in Australia.
Play in Australia, yeah.
And he had a mediocre career at USC,
yes,
to say the least, after just only one season. So, you know, I don't think he won't be an NBA player. I don't think it's completely ruled out, but probably not someone who would have gotten picked in the draft
at all.
Probably would have had to start in the G League and work his way up,
right?
Given other circumstances.
An argument to all the people's displeasure with this pick, I want to say, even before his heart problem that he had,
yeah.
Previous to that, he was a McDonald's All American. He was actually playing pretty good. And at the 55th pick, the last time a 55th pick was actually contributing was 2009 that I could find, and Mr. Patty Mills.
That's a good one.
Everyone after that mostly did not make a roster or contribute to a team.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But with the circumstances, your dad is one of the best players ever. I'd like to think, and as a Laker fan, I'd like to hope that he carves out some type of role on this team eventually. We'll see.
And I think, you know, all of that aside, because, you know, like Dwayne Wade's eldest son, he found his way onto the Jazz G League team.
Zaire?
I believe so, yeah. A few years ago. And it's like, oh, well, Dwayne Wade is a part owner of the Jazz, so.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Nobody's saying anything about that.
But I think the weirdest thing maybe is that he got that guaranteed contract already, a 3-year full contract. Most second round picks are not getting a full, like, here's a 3-year deal right out the gate, you know?
And you brought it up in a conversation we had a few days ago. If there was anything kind of weird about that, I think it's that, the contract.
That's the weirdest part for me, like, yeah.
It's like,
because, like you said, if there's been no 55s like that have even made it to an NBA team, and
yeah,
this guy gets he got the contract before Summer League even started.
Yeah.
Which is underway, which is going to be very fun.
The California Classic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just weird. Just really weird.
Definitely weird. Mr. Mikal Bridges is joining his Villanova teammates in New York.
That is correct.
I think was a wonderful move. Though they gave up everything but the kitchen sink.
Yeah, they gave up a ton of picks.
A lot of picks. Was this about the same amount as the Paul George? Paul George was actually part of the
Paul movie. George, I think, ended up being a lot, because I think there was other teams' picks at play and
swaps
stuff.
Swaps and all that.
But this is like all Knicks picks.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's approaching like Rudy Gobert levels of picks being traded.
Big time.
Which is nuts.
Also, the Knicks team is in a good position to contend for the next few years with this roster. Also didn't have What's his name? Big guy.
On the Knicks, Hardenstein?
No. Oh, he also.
Oh, Julius Randle.
Julius Randle was injured. He'll be back, as well as Brunson's hand will be healed, and now with Mikal Bridges. I think it's a good ad.
I think it's a great ad.
They all play well together.
I just think it's an overpay, generally. Just considering everything else, when you look at the rest of the NBA landscape, I thought it was a big overpay.
Yeah.
But I think if you're in a vacuum, and if you took the picks away, the Knicks adding Mikal Bridges is a great, great move. Losing Hardenstein is going to hurt them.
Yeah.
They need, some other big guy in there.
So sacrificing their future for a right now is, I think, it was a right move.
I think it's okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. There's a chance this can come back to bite them, but I think adding Mikal Bridges, it's just, it's good for, it's really good for right now. It's going to be a good move.
For sure. I think they'll be good next year. How do you see them doing, matching up against the Celts and maybe Philly?
Well, Philly, they added Paul George, of course, and pretty much maintained everyone else except for maybe I think Buddy Hield, and then I think Batum went back to the Clippers.
Yes.
I think that's the only other thing. Mikal Bridges is a great defender, but he's also their fourth guy that's going to be really important. That's a guard. You know? They're going to have DiVincenzo, Brunson, Josh. I almost said Jason Hart. Josh Hart.
Ananobi.
Ananobi, I would say, is a forward. So there's a little bit of height. They're just going to be a little undersized. I think that's going to be the toughest part for them. Especially if they can't find a legit center replacement. Because, like you said, with the Celtics, they could probably contain the guards and the Jays a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe better than most teams. But then you still have to somehow find a way to stop Porzingis or Horford. Which,
it's just kind of crazy.
They're not the biggest threats, but it's just the Celtics have so many tools right now that's going to be hard. And Embiid is still going to just feast on the Knicks.
And let's see if those star players' health holds up on the Philly.
That's always going to be the question, how many games do you actually get out of Paul George and Joel Embiid?
Right.
Not a lot, probably, but...
Paul George is with Philly for those. Obviously, that's not any news anymore, but...
Old news, Grandpa.
The Florida Panthers, congratulations to them for winning the Stanley Cup.
Crazy series. We talked about it briefly. Yeah. It was a good last game I was watching, and it was crazy. They played all of their players for the entire match, pretty much.
Could not be... they must have been ridiculously tired, but when you win, you don't think about
Doesn't
that
Doesn't matter
stuff.
Anymore.
Their parade was hilarious, too. Their coach was super trashed and was, super excited, and his speech was amazing. A couple other things that I saw. Alex Morgan, the famous soccer player, was left off of the U.S. women's team this year.
Yes, yep.
Obviously a little bit older, but a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, a little weird. I think she also, I believe, was coming off an injury.
Yeah.
So she had to miss, the last major women's tournament.
That too, that's right.
So I think... that's where it gets a little tough is do you want someone who's she's 35, that's pretty up there for an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Which shouldn't matter if she's still performing at a high level, right?
No, but coming off of an injury, it's just that kind of changes stuff, I think.
Yeah.
So and this is one of the youngest women's national teams for the U.S. ever. Mm-hmm. So but there's a lot of good young players. Trinity Rodman, she is kind of the headliner. I don't know, we'll see. The women's team usually holds it together
they usually perform better than the men
easily,
do.
Yeah.
So
last women's cup was a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah.
But maybe this will be. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe this is a sign. Time to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the Olympics, that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks or so, towards the end of this month, along with the MLB All-Star Game weekend. Coming up next weekend as well. So lots of cool, fun sporting events coming up.
Lots of fun stuff. I'm super excited for the Olympics. The U.S. men's team is going to be crazy. We'll definitely talk about that.
They are in full practice mode now at UNLV.
Yep.
watching all these practice highlights is kind of insane. Watching them all together,
it's a crazy team.
Watching them with Braun and
it's just
Ant-Man and all those boys.
Yeah, this team is going to be up there for one of the best, I think, after not disappointment, but like the teams, and I feel like in 2021 and 2016 were like, there wasn't a crazy amount of star power on those teams. So having, I mean, LeBron is old and Curry's old and KD's old, but still, it's just crazy that they're all playing together. I think honestly the craziest part.
And that's like a kid's dream, you know, seeing all the your favorite players.
Yeah, man,
kind
this
of
is going
to
be
playing together. It's kind of cool to see.
It's cool. It's cool as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's an adult dream.
For sure. The dream, the rapper.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
I saw a lot of arguments of which USA teams would be the best. And a lot of people still say the Dream Team because it would come down to the bigs.
I mean, the bigs on the Dream Team would annihilate you.
I mean, David Robinson.
David
Admiral,
Robinson.
You got
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing. That's crazy already.
That's
they
pretty
would,
nuts.
They would go up against Dwight Howard and, you know, Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
And these guys, it would definitely have to come down to...
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's tough to say.
This team is pretty nuts, man. I mean, the only spots where you could look and be like, how did this guy get here, I would say, is like
Halliburton
and Drew Holiday. But like, they're both killers, so.
And I would just be like,
Drew,
sick him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Go get him.
Yeah.
And Halliburton is going to feast in the international play.
And
he's also going to pull up from his three-point line, the one where he's supposed to shoot
five miles away.
Yeah, he's going to pull up from his house.
Yes,
and drain it. So,
and then you got the reigning NBA champ on there too, Mr. Tatum. So, there's not a shortage of talent.
We'll see how they play, but yeah, the Dream Team is still pretty legendary.
Yeah,
me personally, that 2012 team is also like one of the most perfect intersections of like young talent and old talent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess LeBron wasn't really old, but like,
I mean, he
had been playing for already like 9 years at that
point. 9 years. They want to call that the older Kobe too.
But yeah.
He was still killing it though, you know.
KD was on that team.
Harden, Russ, crazy. I don't think Melo missed a shot.
No, that game against Nigeria in particular.
Yeah, what the heck
like
was
15
that?
15 threes or something crazy like that.
It's insane.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun. Yeah. I don't know. The 2012 team holds a special place in my heart. I don't know if they could beat the Dream Team. It'd be tough.
I kind of liked the Kobe D Wade backcourt in 2008 too.
Yeah, that team's tough, man. D Wade off the bench too.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
Fun teams. This tournament will be fun because a lot of the other teams from around the world are good too. France is insane.
France got
Canada
a great team.
Is
Canada's
stacked.
Got a really good team.
Lithuania with Luka, can't count those guys out.
You can count them out because they were eliminated by Giannis and the Greek national team.
Oh, that was
team.
Today. Yes.
Yeah. So
that's right. Giannis was crying, right? I don't know that.
Yeah, Giannis was crying because this is his first Olympics that he's going to play in. I think maybe Greece qualified in 2021.
Yeah.
But he was injured, so he didn't play.
That's right.
I believe. But yeah, Luka and Slovenia got eliminated.
Ouch.
They're out of the tournament. Australia, I think, is going to be playing. They're all old as dirt, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe Ingles, Patty Mills, Dellavedova is still on that team.
Awesome.
Outback Jesus.
Cool. Still cool to see those guys.
Yeah, that's a fun
doing
team.
Their thing, though. You know.
Yeah. I don't know if they qualified, but the Bahamian national team for the Bahamas.
With Clay.
They have some weird, like Buddy Hield, DeAndre Ayton, Clay, and Eric Gordon, I think, are all on the
not a bad team.
Bahamian national team. No, not bad. No.
Yeah.
Should be. So if they qualify, that should be fun. But Canada is going to be the...
They are super stacked.
Can't usually count out Spain. They haven't been as crazy lately, but, you know.
I mean, you know them.
They're always going to show up.
They've always been playing together for years, so they'll be a good team. Also.
France and Canada, like you said.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the ones.
Insane.
Wemby looks crazy already. He's just kind of like... He's dishing. He's doing crazy dishes and stuff.
He's hitting like fadeaways from the baseline. Insane, that guy.
Germany too. Germany has a good team.
Oh, Germany's great.
And
that's right.
They have Dennis Schroeder, who turns into an animal during the international play. He got in a crazy fight with Evan Fournier today, like choking each other. And
they like choked each other, and right after it happened, they like said sorry. It's so crazy.
Dennis Schroeder is like, I would not fight him.
He's crazy.
I would run away. I'd be like, if I saw him in a dark alley, I'd be like, oh, I gotta leave. This guy's gonna kill me.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a crazy guy.
But yeah, lots of fun stuff coming up.
Cool. Yeah, those are your hot topics for the day. Me and Julie decided to go throwback.
Get it?
Style. Are you throwing it back?
No, I won't.
It's too hot. We are going back to our old little format, and we're going to talk about one specific player in shoe today. Kind of a special one. My first favorite player ever. Mr.
Samaki Walker.
Samaki Walker. Put it up. Put it up.
Put the picture up.
Mr. Anfernee Deion Penny Hardaway.
That's a lot of names.
He's a pretty good guy.
He's pretty
with a lot of cool names.
A lot of guy.
A lot of guy.
There's a lot of guy there.
For you basketball heads out there, you know who this guy is. He's a star. Played with Shaq.
Yep.
Little background. Went to Memphis University. Played for coach Larry Finch. Wore number 25. Drafted by Golden State Warriors. Third.
Yep.
In the 1993 NBA draft. Like I said, played with Shaq, went to the finals in 95. He also won a gold medal in the Olympics in 96. Played in four All-Star games. And in his college years, he wore the Converse Accelerator RSI High Cut.
Wow.
Which
that's
is
a real shoe?
This bad boy right there.
I'll throw that photo up for you guys.
Yeah,
that's a cool looking shoe, actually.
It's actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I like that it says Cons, too. You know? Kind of like, got that old look to it.
Like a con man.
He's not a con man, though. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a lot of guy.
Famously known also, obviously he was a good player, but he was in Blue Chips.
Yep.
With Shaq.
Yep.
So one of the first players to be in like a movie. And also donned a lot of my favorite jerseys, the Pinstripe Magic.
Yeah, one of the all-time favorites, easily. Fun fact, I don't know if you know this story, but so in the 93 draft,
okay,
Chris Webber was taken with the first overall pick,
right,
which belonged to the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know how this happens, Philly selects Sean Bradley, second overall.
Oh, my God.
Oops. and then, like you said, Golden State takes Penny third. Shaq, supposedly, this is what the story he tells, calls the Magic GM and is like, hey, you need to trade for Penny Hardaway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the draft, there was a trade. You know, they traded Penny for C-Webb. And
yeah.
Then there used to be a show on NBA TV called Open Court where they had all the TNT guys come and talk. And so they talk about it, and C-Webb's like, why didn't you want me? I thought we were going to play together. And mm-hmm. Shaq's like, no, man, I just need a point guard. And
yeah.
So he supposedly is the one that made the move to get Penny instead of C-Webb on the team.
And not a bad move.
No, I mean, makes sense, right?
Like I said, they meshed well together. They respected each other for not all, the whole time.
Shaq staple.
They did have a little bit of a falling out, but kind of interesting to think about C-Webb and Shaq on the same team.
And what's crazy is that there's actually a pretty cool documentary about the Orlando Magic. I think it's a 20 for 20, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
They had back-to-back first overall picks. They took Shaq and then C-Webb, which is like, how do you get back-to-back first round picks? That's
seriously
crazy. Some crazy luck.
That's some Cleveland Cavaliers magic going on. Like, you got Kyrie and stuff, you know?
What else you got about the? I was gonna say the Peaster, but that's not good.
Peaster.
What else do you have about Mr. Hardaway?
Mr. Hardaway.
He didn't do it the easy way, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. This is kind of your realm, but he averaged 20 points, 7.7 rebounds, and 5.9 assists in two seasons with Memphis, which is pretty ridiculous.
If you ever talk about stats again, I'm going to leave.
Please don't. And why we are here today is we are about to hear, not to talk about the Penny 1, but specifically the Penny 2, which is one of my top 10 favorite basketball shoes of all time.
And here it is.
What do you think of it?
Pretty cool. Yeah. Very 90s-tastic.
Bulky a little.
Yeah, a little bulky. Got some like waves, you know, going on. This is the home colorway. It looks dope on foot.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, what, you know, just looking through, it's crazy, like, the amount of shoes that Penny kind of made famous, you know?
Also, yeah, his line is huge.
Because looking through photos of him for this episode, and seeing him, like, in the Foamposite, which he, of course, kind of was, like, the signature player for, I still gotta say those are, like, on foot, those are killers.
Ridiculous.
Yes. But these are still pretty nice.
Yeah. His logo, I think, is really, really dope. The one with the C, like the 1 cent.
Yeah. I think we have a picture of that. You can kind of see it here on the... With the, is this your favorite colorway?
That's definitely my favorite colorway.
The Atlantic Blue?
That the black and the Miami Heat colorway, I think...
Yes, we'll get to that.
...are one of my favorites, too. This shoe dropped in 1996... debuted at the beginning of the 96-97 season. One of the first players to have a huge marketing campaign around it. Obviously, Little Penny.
Little Penny.
Was also in the No Diggity video.
Crazy.
Blackstreet, which is awesome. I don't think they were kind of saying it was Little Penny, but it was exactly the same
as
Penny. And technology-wise, one of the innovators of all basketball shoes had like an Air Max 2 air unit in the bottom, designed by one of my favorite designers, Mr. Eric Avar, who designed plenty of shoes, including all of Kobe's shoes. Three original colorways, Royal Blue, Black, which is the road.
Yep.
Road shoe, and then the white that you just previously showed, which is the home.
Real quick before we show the black, I just wanted to point out that I really like the cursive air on the toe.
You don't see that.
That's dope.
Yeah, you don't see that
anymore. Super cool touch.
And like you said, kind of a funky shoe. This is kind of like a, almost like a, the blue is almost like a foam, not a suede. It's like a weird foamy type of material. It does have like these, this is, will forever be the thing that kind of you'll remember about this
it
shoe
jumps
is
out,
the
yeah.
wavy the yeah. wavy midsole of the shoe and just really funky futuristic look of it. But there's the black pair there for the road. But like you said, with the Orlando, the black Orlando jerseys, this looks
perfect fit.
Crazy.
This is probably my favorite pair of the bunch. I like the blue is a hair understated, I suppose. But yeah, super cool pair. And that, that midsole, it's like crazy how high it goes up.
How it goes up. And kind of like a, I don't know how to even explain that wave, but
it's a rogue wave. Gotta watch out.
That's right.
Those are dangerous.
It is very dangerous. And also was in a pool. Lil Penny was also in a pool party commercial with Tyra Banks. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Super deep cut. But I watched the commercial. I was like, oh, wow. Forgot about that guy. But he was a certified CBG.
He got the buckets.
Yes.
I think I also saw that Nike did like a phone number campaign.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you read anything about this or remember this, but I wasn't really familiar with it, where I guess it was just like a print ad. And it would just be the Penny 2, either one shoe or all a couple different colorways.
Yeah.
And it would just have the Nike phone number. That's all it would say. And it would be like,
wow.
So you called, and it was like Nike headquarters or something, I guess. Because it was a 1-800 number.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty
cool.
Pretty bold. Yeah. Like, just you know what to do.
It's their age.
Call
of,
me.
Yeah. Now we just have QR codes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's the same vibe.
Just scan
yeah.
in whatever they
Ooh,
show you.
Yes.
It's just like the shoe spinning or something like that. What a crazy time for the shoe to be out. Also, the Houston Rockets were really good. MJ at one point was not in the NBA during this 3-year span, you know, like 96, 95.
Well, yeah, so he this shoe, like you said, came out during the holiday season of mm-hmm. of 1996.
Yeah.
So MJ had already been back for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
but he did have that kind of weird 94, 95 like half season.
Yeah.
And missed obviously all of 93, 94. Penny, though, he was having a good, like a crazy surge in like popularity, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think largely due to the tie-ins with like Lil Penny and Chris Rock and just like kind of a thing. Like, it was kind of like we've talked about this before with like AI and different players where it's like, oh, he's like a guy that street culture and basketball culture,
yep.
like where it merges, yep. where they really love him for. Maybe not necessarily what he does on the court.
Yeah.
But it did happen to coincide with like great play on the court. So he during the summer of 96,
yeah.
he
let,
was
let
on
people know, man.
Dream Team 3.
Yeah.
And with Shaq and won the gold medal in Atlanta during the Olympics that year. But then during the regular season, he finished third in MVP voting,
yeah.
which is crazy because it was like what his third season.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing second just behind David Robinson and MJ, who ended up winning MVP, of course. So
yeah, of course.
Pretty. He was on like a crazy high when this shoe came out. Like he was at the peak of his powers.
Definitely, very marketable player, very likable player. Wasn't exactly like a fiery guy, but was just really talented, skilled. You remember that weird shot where he like it's like that weird. Turnover cross and he shoots the jump shot.
Yeah.
You know that? We don't talk. Yeah, yes. No. we're not doing it. I mean,
it's,
can't see it.
It's like very step by step, though. It's like.
Yeah.
Step one, half turn.
Turn around.
Step two, go back.
Go back.
Step three, jump really high during your jump shot.
Right. But, yeah, really. I mean, he was one of my favorite players when I first started watching basketball. I didn't want to. Cheer for Michael Jordan at that time. I felt
of course,
like
yeah.
you are winning too much.
yeah, and Penny had that touch of magic to him, kind of like Magic did, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy passes, just kind of he had the finishing ability too, where it's like, how did you make that shot? Like
exactly.
There's five dudes around you.
Basically well-rounded, they could do everything, great passer. Kind of a tall point guard as well.
Yeah, yeah, 6'5"-ish, 6'4".
Yeah, exactly. So in a time where point guards weren't really that, you know, tall.
No, yeah.
Who were point guards around that time? Are you thinking?
You know, mid-90s. He had
Gary.
Yeah, GP, Kevin Johnson, and Phoenix.
Pass on this body. I'm John Stockton.
Yes, let me pass this body to you, sir.
Sir,
I am John Stockton. Steve Nash just came in the league year.
Nick Van Exel
Kidd was in the league.
Yes.
Nick Van Exel was doing his thing in LA.
These are not, and Penny was doing this with all these guys in the league. Like,
yeah,
what I mean, these guys aren't slouches, but like all these names are pretty. Some of them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was he carved out a place for himself. That's for sure. How about some stats to go with these shoes?
Yes, please.
Here he is in the Atlantic Blue colorway.
See? How nice does that look with
Yeah, they look super dope.
So
it's like
cool.
A perfectly designed shoe for the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, essentially. That's where it really works well. I'm sure you could probably do almost any colorway on it, though. But it just matches so well, like you said, with the pinstripes of the jersey
mm-hmm.
to the kind of waves of the shoe.
Yes.
Really, really cool synergy.
I like this picture you chose too because that's one of my favorite jerseys as well. Is those Suns?
The Suns ones are nice. The black
so dope.
Sun ones.
They need
are
to go back.
Oh,
they
dope.
Did go back to that, right?
Did yeah, you, they have them back. Yeah, I think they maybe
Devin Booker's time right
added
now?
More too. I think they have a purple one now, maybe, which is
that looks like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Charles
wore that, right?
Yeah, this would have been Charles would still be on the Suns here.
Yeah.
This was January 29th, 1997. Magic did win 112-105 in Orlando. 32 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 3 turnovers, and 2 fouls on 11 of 18 shooting. And that rookie point guard, both point guards we talked about actually, were in this game. Steve Nash played 25 minutes. He had 5 points, a rebound, and 3 assists. And the mayor, Kevin Johnson, 22 points and 15 assists.
Yeah. Awesome. So,
KJ, I think, was underrated too. He wasn't as one good of my as favorites, some of these bro. Guys.
Super good.
22 and 15, that is nothing to shake a stick at.
No. Don't you shake anything
don't,
at it.
Don't go like this.
Don't you shake it.
Not at this.
Not
at least.
And his penny stats, the 32 and 8, for those younger kids who never watched him really, that's something of the norm that he can do all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that just to prove that he was really a star. He rarely had bad games. This is something, 30 points was like was something he can do every night if he really wanted to.
And I think too, you know, it's like the game's completely different, so each point has kind of a different context in this era than what does now, you know.
Yeah.
Way more defensive heavy game, and the rules favored defense.
Yeah.
More so than they do now. So you don't have teams that are scoring, you know, 120 every single night. So
right.
30 exactly. a game. I don't want to say it's worth more, but certainly I would imagine you could say it's harder to get at that time.
No, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, super dope. Here's one more. Hardaway on Hardaway action.
Did we say did we bring up Tim?
We did not bring up Tim.
Also another awesome jersey.
The UTEP two step, baby.
Yes, sir.
Here's the home pair though, which also look good. The Atlantic colorway awesome. Definitely looks the Atlantic blue colorway,
yeah.
I should say, look a lot better, I would say.
If I were to be a little bit of a stickler, the all white pair is a little could use a little more color.
It's a little bland.
Yes.
Yes, I would agree. Look at this though. It looks like he's about to get triple teamed.
Which Hardaway prevailed in this game?
Let me tell you, in the battle of unrelated, as far as I know, unrelated Hardaways.
Yeah, yeah.
The Magic did end up winning 98-86. This was February 26, 1997, so just a little bit later. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, a block, and 4 turnovers with 3 fouls for Penny on 7-14 shooting. Dennis Scott, 3D, led the way. 26 points on 6 of 7 from downtown.
He's on fire.
He was on fire. And Tim Hardaway, pictured here, 16 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists for him. Also of note, this was Penny's first season without Shaq. So mm-hmm. he's doing this, I don't want to say solo, but, you know.
Dolo. Yeah. Mike, I have a few questions for you. Don't ask it. How much better of a career do you think he would have had if he didn't go through all these injuries with his knee?
You know, that's the problem. And it is kind of interesting, like the comparisons between him and, say, D. Rose, you know, another Memphis point guard that mm-hmm. had his superstar career derailed athletic. By injuries. Yeah. Right. Completely different. Like play styles. D-Rose had an explosiveness to him that Penny was more like crafty and
taller.
Acrobatic. Yeah. But D-Rose could just run you out the building and
exactly.
then jump on top of the building because mm-hmm. he was so explosive and he blew the building up.
Right.
Yeah.
You think he would have won a championship?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. I think Penny more like, I think we kind of saw maybe the extent of his abilities when he was with Shaq, and mm-hmm. that he just kind of was better suited as the second option. Or, yeah. I mean, he's a point guard, so that's what you want. You know, you want him facilitating. I do think he's like the ideal number two.
Yeah.
But then all the teams he went to afterwards just weren't equipped to, like, have him as the lead guy.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily think it's any fault of his own. Some of the knee stuff is a little weird, you know? Like, he said he was encouraged to play on it when it was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always tricky. Like, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. You'd like to think that the teams have the player's best interest, but it's not always the case.
Also, how far is he pushing himself? doing that.
Yeah. So, it's just kind of like the Magic weren't going to be good. They weren't going anywhere without Shaq.
Right.
And then after that, the Suns, it's like, that, what a weird place for him to end up landing when they also had Jason Kidd, you know?
Right. And I think the Suns was probably the last team that he went to, and because he bounced it around, which I wanted to say was kind of hard to watch when one of your favorite players is
constantly
moving around and just slowly the role diminishing. But the Suns was the last team where I think he kind of had some success in his career.
Yeah, after that, I mean, he was there for a while. He played with the Suns for like 5 seasons. Right. So after that, it was on the Knicks. It was just he didn't really go to any good teams after that.
True. And,
you know, I don't think that's anyone's fault or anything, but it's just he was on kind of weird teams. Because even after Jason Kidd got moved from Phoenix, they brought in Stephen Marbury. It's like they always had another point guard, which it's not bad, but it's like kind of weird, you know? Like, you already have Penny. Like,
yeah, it also seemed like the teams that he was going to after Phoenix was, you know, let's see what if he still got something left, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like a feeler.
He never made another All-Star team either after he left the Magic.
He was an All-Star 4 times, I believe.
Yeah, 4-time All-Star. One of them was the 97-98 season when he was injury-ridden, so I don't know that he played in that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, you know, he had a couple more decent years, but I think it's just too many injuries at that point. Because by the time he finally was healthy, he was just... He wasn't the same, you know. Like, first healthy season where he played 80 games with Phoenix, it's like 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists.
Yeah.
It's definitely not bad, but it's not what you would hope for if you were bringing
Especially
Penny.
Out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a pretty cool tidbit here. His first shoe before the Penny one was a shoe that we covered in one of our first episodes.
The Scottie Pippen episode.
He wore Scottie Pippen's. No, he didn't. He wore the Nike Air Flight 1, which was a pretty old school shoe. The cool fact about that was MJ, when he returned, before his shoes were ready, when he came back after playing baseball, he wore the Air Flight 1, which was kind of known as Penny's shoe at the time.
Oh, okay.
The one and only time Michael Jordan ever wore something that wasn't his.
That wasn't a Jordan.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty trippy. Cool. I don't think I knew that. That is a great tidbit.
So it's a cool little connection between those two guys, but also to see Mike wear something that's not his.
Yeah.
Because he's always wearing his stuff.
That's also ironic because when Mike did come back, the Bulls ended up losing to the Magic.
And was... The Horace Grant thing, was he already on the Magic?
Yeah,
he and was that there. Was yeah. part of MJ's motivation to get him back the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Which he usually does.
Yes. Yeah, MJ usually wins. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's a very cool tidbit. Here is the last pair that you sent me.
You know that red? It pops.
This is in the Miami Heat colorway, so Penny did play 1 year with the Heat. After retiring, he came back in 2007 for the 07-08 season and signed with the Heat and played with them for 16 games.
Yes.
So they got this colorway made up. We couldn't find him actually wearing... No one wearing this shoe, actually.
Had a tough time looking.
This colorway, I should say.
Yeah.
So if you guys know of anyone, or if you've seen any pictures, let us know, because we'd love to see it in a game.
PJ, send us pictures, because we know you have it.
Yeah.
We know you wore it.
You can't fool us.
We know you.
But yeah, this is a dope colorway. Super, super cool.
Super nice. A shoe that is, to me, very versatile. I can wear it while I'm playing basketball, or to swag out.
While I'm bowling.
You can bowl in them if you want, you know. The floor is the same, kind of.
I said this to you when we first picked this shoe, but especially seeing this colorway,
His
logo reminds me of the Cavs logo.
A little bit.
Like the old, the 08-09 Cavs.
Definitely.
Which I think is funny.
I also like the pull tab on the tongue and
the
heel.
Yeah, that's handy, yeah.
So random.
I think both shoes, or every shoe should have both, so I can just slip them on. I don't want to tie any shoes.
You know that's the style now. When was the last time anyone really tied their shoes? People leave them tied and just slip it on.
I'm not even... These shoes don't even have laces.
He doesn't even have shoes. He's not even wearing
He's
shoes.
He's not even wearing shoes.
How good do you think the Magic would have been if Shaq never left?
I don't know. I think they could have won it all. I think that team had enough pieces between, like, Dennis Scott,
Nick.
Brian, yeah, Nick Anderson, Brian Shaw, of course, mm-hmm. Penny, of course, mm-hmm. Horace Grant, who, you know, was there for a little bit. I think it was just Shaq couldn't overcome whatever was going on with him, and that's why they ended up losing, getting swept by the Rockets in mm-hmm. the 94 finals.
And also shout out Jerry West for offering him...
Or 95 finals, excuse me.
Offering him 100 mil, right?
Yeah.
Shaq was like, I want 130. He's like, I can give you 100. Okay. Basically what happened.
I think though, there was someone else that had received a $100 million deal. But it was over...
Which,
like,
is why he brought that up,
and he's
right?
like, I'm worth it. Like, yeah. If he's worth it. I don't remember who it was now. I think it... No, I feel like I want to say it was Alonzo Mourning, actually, because Shaq always had a huge rivalry with Alonzo Mourning. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think it would have ended up being on Shaq. I think if he had been able to become the player he was with the Lakers,
yeah.
then obviously, yeah, they can win the championship. They had a great, great team.
Right.
But, you know, some things are not meant to be.
It's nice to think about, you know.
Yeah.
If Penny's knee held up, Shaq never left, Magic maybe could have contended against Mike. Who knows?
I mean, they beat him that one year.
Exactly. But who knows?
And, you know, you don't want to... We don't want the Lakers to lose championships, you know, so...
always goes back to that.
It always comes back to, can the Lakers be the champs?
You couldn't live with your own failure. And where did that lead you? Back to me.
Back to Shaq.
Back to the Lakers.
I did find... It's kind of interesting because, you know, I've known this is one of your favorite shoes.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you mentioned, a crazy ad campaign with Lil Penny. Like, mm-hmm. they put a lot of money into this shoe. And I don't know... I'd be curious to get your thoughts on how successful you think this shoe is. Because even just finding players that have worn it... This is one of the more difficult... times for me to be like, I can't really find anything, like, you know,
right.
Talk about the Question, that's still a pretty popular shoe that
right.
sneakerhead players will lace up every once in a while.
It has a resurgence to
But this shoe, like, I really couldn't really find that much. I don't know if it just came out at such an awkward time, you know, where
yeah.
you're competing with Jordans, like, at one of their more popular streaks, you know,
yeah.
and other shoes of the time. Yeah, I don't know how you feel the shoe holds up today.
I think it holds up more in terms of I have it in my collection, nice to wear it out to mm-hmm. As a sneakerhead, as opposed to people wearing them on the court.
Yeah,
especially with the new technologies that are coming out. I don't want to bring it into the world of what's going on with Nike now and how they're retroing basically everything.
Pretty much.
Kind of like almost a hot topic that we didn't discuss earlier, but Nike's kind of, you know, they want to release the Wu-Tang Dunks again. They want to they want to release all these, almost like we're releasing all the shoes from the past that everybody loved, which is going to kind of devalue the first releases of these shoes.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to put it in that realm, but, you know, this is a shoe that they've retroed plenty
earlier
of times.
Earlier this year, right?
And I want to believe that they do it because Penny was a great player. Everybody loved him. Still relevant today. Coach of Memphis mm-hmm. University, where he played.
Successful coach, yeah.
Right? He's a big sneakerhead himself, wears something new every single time you see him. So I'd like to think that what he's done for the league is why they still kind of... have these shoes, which you can buy right now. Like I was telling you, Julian, before this episode, the Atlantic Blue pair is on sale right now.
Yeah,
which doesn't normally happen. And if
dangerous,
if these three colorways sell out, I don't know when they'll retro them again in the future. So, but the fact that they're still here is important. I think, again, is a testament to who he was. You know,
I did find. One player.
You did?
Who laced him up.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be a throwback episode if we didn't discuss the man himself.
Okay, well, Samaki Walker.
Samaki Walker. PJ Tucker.
Oh, nice. I mean, it is the two, but it's not.
No, but when I tell you what it is, okay, you're going to be like, I told you when we first tried to record this, I was like, I found a crazy pair.
Yeah.
And this pair lives up to the hype, I think.
Yeah.
Here's a close-up look at them.
Oh, that's a nice color.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So I was reading, I was reading this article from, I did an image search and I found someone wearing it, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this article from 2019 and Nick DiPaola doing a sneaker roundup for ESPN at the time.
Yeah.
And, PJ kind of went crazy like this week of NBA play.
Yeah.
And the weeks before he had some crazy
stuff.
Oh, wow,
those are crazy.
But he wore, so this pair that he wore was, the anniversary of the Soul Collectors, the magazine Soul Collector.
Soul Collector, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Their 5-year anniversary, mm-hmm. They made 10 pairs. And they were given to four Nike employees, 2 members of the magazine staff.
Yeah.
Penny and Nick DiPaola, who designed them, who mm-hmm. also wrote this article. So he's
did a great job.
He's like, how did he get these? And they're size 14. He said they only made 2 size 14. So it's like, PJ going PJ, man.
Never count him out. If you think he has it, maybe 90% of the time, he has it.
So to me, one of the craziest pairs that we've had PJ Tucker wear, because like 10 in existence only mm-hmm. that were just given away as like a special thing.
Yeah.
Crazy that he was able to get a pair in his size and
wear exactly them. And then wear it. Yeah. But cool that he's wearing his stuff. Also, shout out Soul Collector, one of my favorite collectors sneakers that I watch on YouTube. The Perfect Pair, that's his mm-hmm. name. He debuted a gift from Soul Collector. It was a big wooden box that you had to pry open with wood.
Yeah.
And then in dust bags, 4 pairs of Penny 2s.
Wow.
The Atlantic Blue with the 1 cent on this side, and on the other side was the Soul Collector logo.
And I think you see that on the heel. Yes. Yeah.
And he just showed all 4 pairs, and they are sick. It was like this and a Penny 1. I think the Penny 1. Mm-hmm. Also, and just, I mean, Soul Collector kills it all the time.
So crazy.
Shout out Nick DiPaola, too.
In this game, of course, we've got to talk about the stats. This was mm-hmm. January 16th, 2019. Nets at Rockets, and the Nets ended up winning 145-142.
Jeez.
Those Harden teams, man, they could score in a mean amount.
Yes.
An unfair amount. PJ had 20 points.
Wow.
10 rebounds, an assist and 2 steals with a block, a turnover, and 3 fouls on 7 of 12 shooting. So, fantastic game for him. James Harden,
no
58
defense.
Points. No, yes. Apparently. 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And the Nets just kind of did it as a team. Spencer Dinwiddie had 33. Jared Allen had 20. Trevon Graham had 21.
Excuse me?
I do not know who that is.
This was probably the best version of James Harden, right?
Easy.
Houston James Harden.
Yeah. Crazy what he could do out there, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's all I could find.
Awesome. Awesome shoe. Again, top 10 for me. I will not say where in the top 10, because maybe we'll do a top 10 episode or something one of these days.
Leave a comment.
Leave a comment down below. Or also, let us know. Send us pictures of your Penny 2s. I know there's a lot of penny lovers out there.
There's a lot of penny loafers out there?
Penny loafers and lovers.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Penny loafers, everybody's wearing those right now. That's the style.
I'm going to bake a loaf of bread with the 1 cent logo on it, and that will be my penny loaf.
I would love to have some of that.
I would.
Don't you dare. Keep going.
Hey, bread, shoes.
Bread, shoes. Cool little new thing I'd like to do, which I brought up to you, and to the library corner and party corner. This is... comment your names down below. I don't have a name for this game, but this game is for the Statty Daddy and some stats. So I'm going to give him a stat line, three stat lines, and he's going to have to put the three or put the three players with it.
Okay? All right.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Do you want the players first or do you want the don't look over here.
Give me the stats first. Give me
the stats first. Okay. This first stat line, you ready?
Yes.
1 point, one rebound, one assist, one steal, one block, one turnover, jersey number one. So all ones across the board.
Oh, okay.
Second, 17 points, no field goals, all free throws.
What?
Third, 98.1% from the free throw line the whole season. 151 free throws out of 154 free throws. And here's the players. You guys ready? Are you ready? CJ Watson, Corey Maggette, and Jose Calderon.
Okay, Jose Calderon is the free throws.
Yes, of course. He's so good.
Corey Maggette is the 17 points.
Yes, you got it.
Which means CJ Watson is the 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Very good.
I was initially going to say Draymond.
Very good.
On the one, I think he had like a...
He has one on there that I saw.
One by one, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But thank you guys for watching episode 52. Shout out to one of my favorite players, Penny Hardaway.
Yes, please.
Thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you guys next time on the flippity, floppity, droppity. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Worst one ever.